All right, we're back on the Carolina Outdoors. And, of course, one of the outstanding features of the Queen City is our tree canopy here. And, Christopher, you've got someone who can tell us all about those trees out there.
Oh, yes. The wandering arborist, as he is known. Patrick Anderson, who has had quite an impressive resume in the tree canopy, in the natural world here in North and South Carolina. ISA board certified master arborist and municipal specialist, a registered consulting arborist, and North Carolina and South Carolina certified pesticide applicator, ornamental, and turf license. Patrick, you are accomplished and famous, and we are thrilled to have you on the show.
Hey, guys, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Well, hey, we want to talk about today Charlotte's treasure trees and the Queen's Crown. As Don mentioned, our city has quite an impressive history and portfolio of varieties of trees, different shrubs, different varieties. And we just want to know, how did you get into this? Were you interested as a kid? What's your story?
Yeah, sure. So how I got into trees was, well, I grew up actually in the city of Philadelphia, in the city. So, again, a lot of concrete, a lot of bricks, but certainly there were street trees, and I was always kind of gravitated to that. And when I went to college, I didn't exactly know what I wanted to be when I grew up and was kind of fumbling through the course book one day and found this degree called urban forestry, which, you know, sounds almost like an oxymoron, but, you know, as you guys know, urban community forestry is taking care of trees in cities and being an urbanite, but also, you know, really having an affection for trees specifically. I figured, well, that was probably my calling, and that's all I've done since.
What, now, you know, when you drive around Charlotte, you certainly go through some of the areas and see these massive trees along the street. What kind of tree are we typically looking at there?
So most of our large mature canopy trees in Charlotte are going to be willow oaks. And in some of the older neighborhoods, you know, Dilworth and Myers Park and Eastover, most of those trees were all planted about the same time, about the turn of the century there. Somewhere between, again, you know, 1910 and, you know, maybe 1920. So we have a mature canopy, which we're really fortunate to have in the city, and the fact that it's been cared for and really, you know, treasured for so many years and accepted by the city and the residents is really, truly special among, you know, a lot of, you know, urban cities throughout the country.
Now, is the willow oak the one that has a long, kind of narrow leaf and then a really small acorn?
That's correct, yeah, yeah. So most of the time you think of oaks, you know, most people think of an oak, you know, as having a large kind of lobed leaf. You know, you think of maybe a white oak or a red oak. The willow oak is kind of unique, and it does have that kind of slender, long leaf. And, yeah, it's typically a smaller acorn than most other oak species.
Now, that's a real food source for deer and squirrels and turkeys out in the country and things, right?
Oh, for sure. And so not only, you know, so oaks are one of the primary food sources for a whole host of mammals as well as birds. And interestingly enough, they're a massive food source for a lot of different insects, including caterpillars. You know, of course, we talk about the cankerworm, which has its whole, you know, host of tree health issues, but a whole host of caterpillar species feed on oak trees that really don't cause too much damage to the tree, but in turn become a major food source for songbirds. So, you know, these mature trees that are growing along our streets, you know, in these urban corridors are really these brilliant ecosystems unto themselves that, you know, it's, if you really start looking and paying attention, you will see all kinds of animals and insects and, you know, even, you know, microscopic fungal life living there. So it's a world unto itself, and these mature trees are really neat.
Now, willow oaks, I have several on my farm, and those are good, sturdy trees that don't seem to be much trouble.
They don't cause too much trouble, for sure. And part of the reason why they work so well as an urban tree is, if you notice where they grow, you know, native or naturally, they like kind of lower areas. Think of them as kind of a lowland type tree. And these low areas which often get inundated with water, kind of push that oxygen out of the soil. So they're used to really low oxygen environments, which is why they do so well as street trees, because, again, you know, we cover these poor tree roots up with concrete and, you know, compacted soils, and it's very low oxygen for those roots, but they're able to really withstand and thrive in that area just due to where they're naturally occurring.
All right. Now, as an arborist, what kind of needs will that tree have down the road as it matures and so forth?
So the biggest, probably one of the biggest maintenance things we need to worry about with any tree, specifically, you know, these willow oak trees, is maintenance pruning throughout its lifetime. So, again, if you think about how trees have adapted, specifically, again, to willow oaks, they're adapted to grow in this mixed forest stand where they have, you know, individuals next to them, both of their species and other species that are tall maturing trees. And so in the woods, they form this what we call central leader that is growing straight towards the sky. Now, that's kind of how they've adapted, is to have this central leader in this mixed kind of stand with all these individuals kind of competing for the same light resources. When we take them out of that kind of area and we put them in a streetscape or in a front yard where they're getting more sun than they would normally get in that wooded situation, they take advantage of all that. And so where they would usually put up, you know, one stem, and they would have this kind of, you know, specifically spaced branch architecture that would provide, you know, really good structure in the tree. When we take them out of that situation and put them in a situation where they're getting light on all sides, they take advantage of it, and they put out a whole lot of other branches. In some cases, these branches are very narrowly attached to the stems. We see included bark, which can be, again, a maintenance concern as the tree matures. And this really tight branch spacing, which can be a maintenance concern as the tree grows. So the biggest thing we can do for trees, especially when they're younger, is to do what we call structural pruning, where we prune to favor one stem that's growing straight up, and we prune to favor branch spacing. So when the tree is mature, we don't have these kind of large branch failures that you might see often driving around after a thunderstorm.
One thing I want to ask you about, Patrick, the more that I've read about Charlotte's canopies and trees, I came across a program called the Charlotte Treasure Trees, and from my understanding, it was a program started in the 1980s and recognized the unique historical and biological trees of Charlotte and Mecklenburg County. Have you interacted with that program before, or what do you know about it, and do you have any favorite trees?
Oh, sure, yeah. So the Treasure Tree Program, to provide a little bit more context and history around that, so that was started by a pair of extension agents, so NC State extension agents, one of them being Tom Martin, who realized that, again, just like today in the 80s, Charlotte was a growing city, and, you know, we were losing large tracts of forested land and even some of these urban trees to development. And so the history of the Treasure Tree Program was that these two extension agents wanted to kind of bring that to the forefront and really bring, you know, the benefits of trees to people. So they started the Treasure Tree Program, where they had recognized, you know, these large or unique trees around the city. It was really popular, and you can still find some of these original treasure trees today, and some of them still contain the original plaque. It was this kind of sideways kind of cube that said Treasure Tree on it, and was really, really interesting. And so that some of those trees are still standing today. When those two moved kind of on from their position with the state, in 2007, another fellow, he was a landscape architect, his name was Al Harris, he kind of picked up the program, and he was able to go out and map all the remaining treasure trees. And then Al ended up moving on to Texas for work. And so then it kind of sat there for a few years. And in the meantime, a fellow by the name of Patrick George, who is another local arborist here in Charlotte, founder of Heartwood Tree Service, and really one of the biggest advocates for our canopy, he has this idea of what is now called the Queen's Crown. And it's kind of like a hybridization of the old Treasure Tree Program, which kind of focused on mature trees and unique trees. taking that idea, then also adding that kind of historic kind of value to trees, thinking of trees as being, you know, kind of a connection to our history and our past in Charlotte. And so with the Queen's Crown, what we try to do is not only, you know, identify these large trees, but identify some of these trees with the unique history that kind of ties, you know, that tree to Charlotte in some way. Because as you guys know, you see, we have, you know, in many instances, you know, where we have knocked down historic buildings or historic neighborhoods. But in some cases, those trees are still standing there. And so that can kind of tie that history of Charlotte with the tree canopy and bring recognition to that tree canopy.
Now, of course, Charlotte is back in a building boom, and the way we build is we clear off everything and build a subdivision. For new homeowners in new subdivisions, give us some guidance on what we should be planting for trees, because we are all drawn to bad choices with fast-growing things that don't last.
Sure. And so the city actually has an approved list of trees that they'd like to have planted in their right-of-way, and you can find that on their website. But certainly, you know, there are, outside of Willow Oaks, and if you look at our master plan, or excuse me, if you look at our tree canopy inventory, you'll see that we have a lot of Willow Oaks. And so we want to move away from that idea of planting a monoculture of one plant, because, again, as we're facing now, we have a lot of the same tree that has been planted at the same time, and we're seeing some issues with that. So that being said, there are a host of species in the oak genus that would be suitable. Some of the ones that I like would be like a swamp white oak, which is in the white oak family. You know, even some of these other red oak family trees, like a Schumert oak, they're large maturing trees. They do well in low oxygen soils that are typical of urban environments, so those would be really good ones. Some smaller trees that do well would be something like a redbud. It flowers, it's native. So there's a lot. I mean, sheesh, we could spend a whole 2 hours talking about all of this.
Yes.
We're going to do another show on
that
one.
We'll have to do another show. Oh, Patrick, the wandering arborist, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us, and thank you for educating us on Charlotte's canopy.